Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Kenneth Briggs, who writes for the National Catholic Reporter. He's a professor at Lafayette College and a former New York Times religion editor, and is the author of Power of Forgiveness and Double Crossed, Uncovering the Catholic Church's Betrayal of American Nuns. Welcome to Background Briefing, Kenneth Briggs.
Thank you very much.
And it appears to be somewhat unprecedented that a large institution should be so publicly shaming another institution. But the United Nations Committee on the Rights of the Child have issued a report calling on the Vatican to immediately remove child abusers. And this is, again, it strikes me as very unusual that this should be happening in such a public way.
I agree. It's on an international scale. It's a little bit of the appearance, anyway, of crossing the church-state divide. I don't think it is actually that way, but I think it does have that appearance. I think it represents a great deal of frustration on the part of the United Nations that's had this request in for basic information for, I believe, 17 years. They've been waiting for this report, and finally, I think the pressures and frustrations reached a point where they felt they needed to do something more pointed and more dramatic to call attention to the fact that the Vatican has not responded to their request for a report on the amount of abuse that's gone on and the processing of the offenders. And that's the motivation behind it.
But the Vatican have traditionally given precedence over what they call church law or canon law over criminal law, and I guess by extension, international law. Now, the Vatican, of course, does have a seat on the United Nations, which is somewhat unusual in itself. What's been the reaction from the Vatican?
Well, the Vatican says that it has soft-pedaled it in the sense of it says it regrets this is going on and it'll look into it and so on. But quite honestly, this is one issue that the new Pope, for all the favorable reviews he's received in many other ways, has not really dealt with this issue. And I think the vacuum, a lack of response, a fuller response from Rome on the whole issue of child abuse has left open this kind of appeal for greater accountability from the world, just the way civil instruments in the courts in the United States have taken up issues of child abuse by priests when church officials have lagged behind in giving public accounting or doing anything about the perpetrators. So I think there's a mirror image here of what's happened in the United States, where in that vacuum the secular forces and the civil forces have moved in.
Well, apparently, Kenneth Briggs, the UN Committee on the Rights of the Child have not only focused on pedophilia and child abuse, sexual abuse of children within the Catholic Church and the extent to which the hierarchy has covered it up. They've also singled out Ireland's Magdalene Laundry scandal as an example of how the Vatican has still failed to provide justice for these slave-like conditions, which included degrading treatment, violence, and sexual abuse in these laundries, which were essentially workhouses for some 10,000 women and girls who were required to do unpaid manual labor from 1922 all the way up till 1996.
I agree that refocusing and putting the magnifying glass on that, it does renew concern about that, which was in its own way highlighted by the recent movie whose name I can't remember offhand.
Philomena,
which has risen the visibility of that issue all over again. So it does add more pressure and more of a spotlight on that. And I want to add, too, I think some of this message on the part of the United Nations may reflect a heightening of concern about children in general around the world, about the welfare of children. And they may be moving into an area where the public awareness of abuses of a much, much wider strain is very much on the minds of more and more people. And I mean the questions of what happens to African children who are homosexual, children of Syria, the children who have been killed as a result of United States drone strikes. I think there's an alert and a focus that they now have built upon and used and piggybacked on in some way to emphasize not only those issues within the church, like the laundry, but also the wider concern about what's happening to children in so many places in the world.
Well, of course, the Pope, ironically, is going to be meeting with the actor in Philomena, Steve Coogan. I don't know whether it's already taken place, but apparently it's to take place soon. I wonder whether he's seen the movie. Why would he be meeting with the actor?
I think I read somewhere where he was going to see the movie.
Right.
There has been response from the Vatican about child abuse, but it's been restricted. It's been somewhat restrained, and it's not really stood up on an international level and said, this is where we have come with it, and this is where we're going to go with it, and we're not going to put up with it anymore, in a way that simply isn't just apologetic for things that have happened that they regret. So I think in the case of the Pope and this kind of incident, it is in the course of things for them to say, well, you know, that we regret that kind of thing happened, but that doesn't tell us much about current policy and what they intend to do in the future to prevent that kind of thing. And I think that there needs to be a lot more initiative taken on that front.
Again, I'm speaking with Kenneth Briggs, who writes for the National Catholic Reporter. He's a professor at Lafayette College and a former New York Times religion editor, and is the author of Power of Forgiveness and Double Crossed, Uncovering the Catholic Church's Betrayal of American Nuns. And we're discussing the UN report that came out on Wednesday from the UN Committee on the Rights of the Child, criticizing the Catholic Church and demanding that the Vatican must immediately remove child abusers. And this, of course, comes at a time when there's been a tremendous amount of good publicity for this new pope, and pushed into the background the previously bad publicity about the child abuse scandal. But this, I suspect, is going to bring it back, and it's going to really call out the pope, who many people think is a breath of fresh air. To your mind, Kenneth Briggs, is someone who covers these issues and has done for some time, do you think that the Pope has in fact enunciated his position about this scandal that has gone on for decades, that's cost the Catholic Church billions and billions of dollars, and has raised the fundamental questions about whether or not the Church would rather pay off and keep this under the and try and sweep this under the rug, then actually deal with the situation, given the billions already paid out?
Yeah, I think when this pope was elected just about a year ago, he came into office with either the official or unofficial mandate to talk about the positive things in the church, or to give a view of the church that would take people's minds off of the bad news that had been going on. The problem was that the bad news had not been resolved yet. And Pope Benedict XVI had done some things to take some action and responded, but it was largely internal, and it didn't really make a big impression on the wider world. So that issue remained just sitting there. And the Pope the new pope was given a break. He was given some leeway, I think, while he settled into office. And while he did, he's made a very positive impression in many other ways. Meanwhile, some of these tougher, more negative issues are still sitting there. And the question has been, is he a kind of good news pope who is able to project a very positive, engaging image to a public that has been wary of the Catholic Church because of these other issues? Is he going to stop there, or is he going to be a reformist pope in the sense that he's going to bring actual change to the structures and daily operations of the Church on a local and a regional basis through the structures of the Church? And that remains the big issue. In a somewhat unrelated way, there is the case of the Catholic school in Seattle that you may have already dealt with on this program, having fired the vice principal for announcing he was going to be married to his male partner. And while it was known that he was gay, it was not, he did not up to that point declare that he was going to be married. So he was fired, and there's been a great uproar from the school and parents, the kids, everybody is on the side of this vice principal because he was very popular and very well liked. So what do the local officials do? They say the school is right, they're following church policy, and he has to be relieved of his duties because he has crossed the line. Not because he's gay, because that's technically okay, but because he's acting on being gay, and that's immoral, according to the Catholic Church. There were many people who said, well, why should that be? The Pope has been upfront about his warm attitudes toward people who don't fit the mold. He said in that famous statement, who am I to judge, when he was considering a question regarding homosexuals. Why should I judge? The question is, the Church does judge, and unless you change the Church's teachings and rules that govern such things, nothing much changes except through maybe a general persuasion or some personal influence. Therefore, in my view, I felt as if the officials in Seattle actually had no option but to follow the procedure. As much as I may disagree with the result of it, it was an instance where the Pope's good feelings, or his generally kind of good nature, does not correspond to what somebody in an official position is called upon to do by the rules and regulations of the Church itself. So whether he will move to change those views and those teachings remains very, very much up in the air. And he has not indicated at all that he will, for example, change the teaching that says that homosexuality is intrinsically disordered. That's a pretty, it sounds a little complicated, but it sounds pretty serious and gruesome. That's what it says. And if you want to change the language, then you can change the language. But saying, who am I to judge, doesn't change the language. And you can always say that the Pope is saying is, the Church already has judged, and they've said it is intrinsically evil in that sense. And so I don't have to go farther than that. So it's a very confusing situation, and it's one that presents itself when people think he has dealt with some things, when he's just dealt with the feelings around such things and made an effort to try to ameliorate some of those hard feelings about issues that people disagree about.
But just in the last couple of minutes, Kenneth Briggs, in effect, what's happening here is the same kind of conflation and ignorance that Vladimir Putin is representing in Russia, where he conflates pedophilia with homosexuality, and they're completely unrelated. And the idea that you stigmatize homosexuals and somehow let pedophiles off the hook is such an appallingly bad priority. It's just sickening. Isn't that part of the problem here, that you're confusing homosexuality with pedophilia?
Well, I think that's what's mirrored in the UN statement, in some sense, that they're saying that the church's views on this thing, even though they're based, those views are based in all kinds of long-standing kind of moral arguments, that they are encouraging that kind of bigotry by making their own pronouncements in their own ways against homosexuality, so that while it lends itself to somebody maybe like Putin picking up that kind of imagined support from the Vatican and running with it, and the same way that things are evolving in Africa with regard to the same issue. So I do think, and children are in the center of all of those issues one way or another. So I do think that the Putin and the expression of that kind of anti-gay and lesbian feeling there has further heightened the stress among people at the UN.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Kenneth Briggs.
Thank you very much. Good talking to you.
Again, I've been speaking with Kenneth Briggs, who writes for the National Catholic Reporter. He's a professor at Lafayette College and a former New York Times religion editor, and is the author of Power of Forgiveness and Double Cross, Uncovering the Catholic Church's Betrayal of American Nuns. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.